At the same time, he counseled them, "I wish that all were as I myself am." And to the unmarried and the widows, he said, "It is well for them to remain single as I do." In this seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is devoted entirely to marital counseling, Paul distinguishes, perhaps not always in the right places, between the command of the Lord and his own opinion. He gives several reasons which may have affected his own decision not to marry. One of these, quite frankly, is a negative attitude toward sex. It's there. It's the origin of some of the distortion of sexuality in the Christian tradition, and there's no use in denying it. Another reason, Paul's expectation that Jesus would return soon, and his desire to save people from the impending distress, somewhat like Jeremiah. And a final reason Paul gives for remaining unmarried is that a man or woman might devote himself or herself more fully to the Lord if that person were not married. Paul does not give that usual male chauvinist explanation about why he wasn't married, namely, that no woman could have endured the rigors which he, the Apostle Paul, endured. The truth is, more nearly, that no woman could have endured the Apostle Paul. But Paul was a rather effective minister of Jesus Christ, and if you don't believe so, just ask him. Of course, he was not the pastor of a local church, and he could not be called as one today. There was an editorial in the Biblical Recorder recently entitled, "Apostle Paul Couldn't Get Job in Church Today." And a reader responded to that editorial, "Right. Paul was diseased with bad eyes. He was not physically attractive. He did not get along. He was crude." But the writer misses an equally important point. Paul was single. And now to Jesus. We refrain from speculating about him, partly for theological and partly for historical reasons. The New Testament manifests precious little interest in Jesus' autobiography. There's nothing in the Gospels to compare with Jeremiah's complaints or Paul's boasting. And yet the Gospels do tell us something about how Jesus related to others, including women and children. And these are the questions that are always raised about a single minister. We read in the Gospel of John how Jesus' first public act after rounding up some disciples was to take them along with him to a wedding. Whatever else we can conclude from this story, I think it shows that Jesus approved of marriage, that he enjoyed weddings, and at this wedding he certainly helped the guests to have a good time when the refreshments ran out. But how did Jesus himself relate to women? Unlike Jeremiah and Paul, there is evidence that women were attracted to Jesus. And there is more truth than fiction in that line from Jesus Christ Superstar, sung by Mary Magdalene, "I don't know how to love him." Did he know how to love them? The Gospel of John gives us one example of how Jesus handled himself with women. He was all alone at Jacob's well when a Samaritan woman came, and he struck up a conversation with her by asking her for a drink of water. Somehow the conversation got around to her own marriage, the fact that she had been married 5 times and she was now living with a man she was not married to. It's no wonder then that throughout the story, the emphasis is not on her nationality, but on her sexuality. Not that she was a Samaritan, but that she was a woman. At the end of the story, John tells us, just then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking to a woman. But none said to him, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking to her?" If this account were turned in to me in a supervisory group as a verbatim, I would be hard put to criticize anything in the relationship of this single man to a woman living in adultery. But how would a single man relate to children? The Gospels tell us that on one occasion, women were bringing their children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples, married men, according to Paul, rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And he took them in his arms and blessed them and laid his hands on them. Jesus could relate to all people, to men, women, and children, and Jesus was, in my opinion, single. I do not fully understand why I am single, partly by choice, though I have taken no vows, partly by chance. But I do see two callings for the single adult and especially for the single minister. One of these is to be a witness against the idolatry of sex and marriage in American society. In my opinion, this idolatry of sex and marriage is a far greater problem than any remnants of the Puritan ethic. To demonstrate that though one cannot escape, even in marriage, from that loneliness which is the human condition, one can live, even apart from marriage, a rich, full, and useful human life. That's one calling for the single adult. For the single minister in particular, there is the calling to be a voice for singles in the church and in society. Such a voice I have tried to be today. You can judge just what is the word of the Lord and what is my own opinion. Was Jesus married? In the absence of evidence to the contrary, I think he was not. But I really don't know, and it really doesn't make any difference, any more than it makes any difference whether the minister today is married or single. And I yearn for that day when Roman Catholics will admit to the priesthood persons who are married, and will Southern Baptists will call to the pastorate persons who are not. Persons like that strong, righteous man of Galilee who know how to express love at the well. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all his people.